tonight's episode of the 31st Lap Podcast is brought to you by DirtTrackDigest.com. If it's on dirt, it's on Dirt Track Digest.
This is the 31st Lap Podcast, recorded live in the studios of FingerLakes1.com in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now, your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to the 31st Lap, episode number 172. On deck here, Mike Mallett joining us here on the hotline, calling in from home. Active school year already underway for Mike. He said it's been going awesome so far. Plenty of racing action on deck this weekend as well. We'll have to see how much of that stuff actually gets in. Diving right into it, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the local track championships that wrapped up over the weekend. Also get a little bit of a recap on the New Yorker 200 that took place over there at Utica Roma Speedway on Monday. Everybody enjoying their Labor Day weekend. We are back after a couple weeks off. Mike, man, welcome back. Sounds like you got a night where you get to sleep in your own bed for once.
Yeah, you know, it's the time of the year when midweek shows come to an end.
a little
different, you know. You get to go all summer and have a good time, and then all of a sudden reality hits you in the face and the day after Labor Day.
You've been looking forward to tonight, to a spot where those midweek shows start slowing down a little bit?
You know, partially, yeah, partially, no. You know, it's nice to be able to relax a little bit. That's a bonus, but it's also nice to enjoy racing. So it's hard to, you know, to have 3-4 nights in a row where you're like, what am I going to do now? You know, so it's funny. I went for a walk today. It was nice outside, and my neighbor stopped. She's like, you're home. Haven't seen you in a long time. Said, don't worry. You'll be seeing me a lot now. School's back in session.
Right. How has the school year begun for you?
Yeah, it's always good. It's early. You know, you don't know who the idiots are yet.
I can relate to that. I can see where you're coming from there. Some of those classes can be a little predictable, but sometimes when you got that influx of new students, a little bit remains to be seen. You got to wait until everybody gets a little bit more comfortable before you figure things out from there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's why beginning of the year, you got to be hard-nosed a little bit. You know, teaching the rules, teaching the way life is.
Sure.
Crack down on them and then ease up as the year goes.
How about Matt Shepard over the weekend, not having too bad of an outing, wrapping up the track championships at Brewerton, Canandaigua, and then officially closing out the Utica Rome track title?
Yeah, pretty good weekend for Matt Shepard. You know, he held off Jimmy Phelps by 10 points at Brewerton. I mean, Jimmy put a scare in him.
Well, he won. And, Jimmy ended up winning the race.
Yeah, won the race, and then Matt won the title by 10 points at Brewerton. I know Canandaigua was not that close.
No, not even.
We've got one more full-point show on Saturday night. It was part of the Cole Cup, but Matt Shepard pretty much has that locked up.
Yep. Matt Shepard picked up his 11th win of the year at Ontario County Speedway. Ontario County Speedway. That was a long time. Ontario County Fairgrounds Facility, Canandaigua Motorsports Park. That was his, he ended up posting his 50th career modified win through that stretch at Canandaigua, and he was running at the finish of all but one start at CMP this year. Pretty impressive numbers over there at Canandaigua. That's the sixth time he ended up winning that championship, and then this marks also his fifth straight going back to 2011, and he won for the first time in 2009. First track title at Brewerton. That was interesting. Phrasing of that's wrong. I had written some notes down, and I put that. He won the title in 2011, and he's got three straight dating back to 2013, which isn't too bad over there. Brewerton's a tough track to win a championship at, and he made things look real easy over at Canandaigua. Canandaigua was no walk in the park. You got Tim Fuller, Justin Harris, Steve Payne, Alan Johnson running over there as well. It's no easy path to a title at those two tracks.
Definitely not easy. You know, Utica, you know, same kind of thing. I mean, he's one win away from tying the all-time win record in a season. He currently has 10. He capped that on Monday as part of the New Yorker. Ed Tumke and Dale Plank, I believe, are the other two tied at 11. So he could match that. We've got two more modified races left. Actually, two modified races left.
Yeah.
He still has an opportunity to beat it, technically.
Right. Now, is that going to have an asterisk next to it that it won't be on the regular season? if he does
I don't think so. I think that many wins in a season is that many wins in a season, you know, whether it's Fonda or Utica or whoever.
Right.
If you win, you know, 12, 15 events in a season, that's impressive.
No question about that. Tim Fuller ended up taking home his second win of the year at Canandaigua. We talked about Jimmy Phelps winning over there at Brewerton. And then that race on Sunday, Utica Rome had some action there. And then Monday they came back with a New Yorker. How was the New Yorker event as a whole?
You know, it was a good weekend. Vic Coffey got his first win on Sunday, which was pretty neat to see because Vic has been he's been struggling.
Yeah.
Utica. You know, Utica is a tough place, but he kept coming, you know, and ultimately ended up buying a new car here this past weekend. Got a Bicknell car, brand new one, 2016, and it paid off for him. You know, he ran well both nights. He got third on Monday, you know, after leading the majority of the race, but, you know, Matt Shepard got him, and Shepard just, he ran him down. I mean, Shepard started fourth. You thought Shepard would be the lead in five laps, and that's it, you know. But he started back, you know, it took him 65 or 70 laps to get the lead.
Right.
So a really good race on Monday. And then we had a caution with 10 to go when Larry White hit a U tire and ripped the left front off his car.
Oof.
And then good battle between Billy Decker and Matt Shepard to close it out. I mean, one of the better 100 lappers I've seen all season long. So, you know, nothing to complain about there. It was a good night, good weekend.
You're talking about wild finishes. You follow it all what went down up at Oswego for International Classic?
Yeah, I was listening to it, actually, and I couldn't believe Otto spun out with, yeah, what, two laps to go by himself?
But I think there was like eight or nine laps to go at that point. But then there was a second accident there at the end, and it set up this overtime-style finish that we've seen.
Yep.
NASCAR, who doesn't script the finishes, by the way.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, so Bob Bond ended up winning that event over there, which, I mean, that's a good win for him. And I mean, he and Otto are in such a good tight points battle over there. They still have one more race to go. They're going to round out their season, I think, this weekend, the weekend of the 13th, I think, is 12th or 13th.
Is this
their last
or next weekend?
I thought it was, I don't know. Hang on, I'll pull it up right here.
Double check. I don't think it's this week.
It is September. I'm sorry. It was September 19th. September the 19th is when they're going to wrap up over there.
Yeah, okay. The next weekend. That's what I thought.
Yep. Yeah, but that Greenwood checker finish, and from there, man, Bond jumped right on that, jumped out in front,
yep,
and he ended up walking away with it. So that was not a bad finish, but it sure looked like, you know, Otto was well on his way to winning something like his, if he won it, would have been his fifth in seven years. I mean, it's just an unbelievable record that he's got there, and it all went away just in the blink of an eye when that thing went around, and then I think he was probably overdriving it a little bit trying to climb up through there. Because he was a class of the field up until the up until fate struck.
Well, he's class of the field all year, every year. I mean,
yeah, there's no question. Otto's a great driver, and he knows how to get around Oswego.
Yeah, I mean he's definitely got it covered. No doubt about that. You know, he is unbelievably talented at Oswego.
Billy Decker. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Billy Decker on Saturday night, he cleaned up the track championship at Fulton. He's been pretty pretty much dominant over there. Larry White ended up winning the thing overall, and now everybody's starting to focus on that Outlaw 200, which that's October 2nd and 3rd. Man, that's only like 3 weeks away.
It's amazing how fast the end of the season goes. You know, I was just looking the other day, I saw something pop up. You know, you mentioned that race, the Outlaw 200. For me, that's National Open weekend, and now National Open has expanded to Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what's amazing is that leads you right into Super Dirt Week.
Yeah.
You know, we're there. This is it. We're coming up on the last one.
The last Super Dirt Week. There was some folks up there at the New York State Fairgrounds that were running in some of the motorsports events over Labor Day weekend who said they weren't even aware that they're talking about ending motorsports events at the fairgrounds.
And yeah, like the Devil Derby people, right? They didn't even know that they were going to stop doing Devil Derbies because where are you going to do them?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, where are you going to have races? What can you do? You know, if the grandstands are gone, you're not going to bring in enough stands to
justify doing all the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. There's just no. I mean, maybe you could justify bringing enough stands in for some of the tractor pull events, but even those draw huge numbers up there when they've had them in the past. So. I believe this is it for motorsports events. I mean, Super Dirt Week is going to cap it. I got a guy that I was talking with a little bit about some of that combative motorsports stuff and elimination motorsports events, and he wants me to go to Hookstown, Pennsylvania on Saturday, the 10th, and I'm kind of on the fence because honestly, I kind of want to be in town and check out Super Dirt Week.
Yeah, you know, that's, you and I have talked. Super Dirt Week has never been one of my, I like going to Super Dirt Week because you see all the people, you have fun. It's never been one of my favorite events just because of the, it always stunk to me that, you know, one of our biggest races is on a track that doesn't do our cars justice. You know, now that there's some more dirt modified racing on TV, it's not so bad. Right. You know, I always felt bad that our one appearance on television every year, you know, CBS Sports will have you or whatever else, you know, was right. The mile. You know, because that's not indicative of how our cars race.
Right.
You know, that's a once a year endurance race that, you know, it's special. That's what it is, but it's not a good glorification of our racing. You know, I kind of wrote about it on DTD last week. You know, I said, the story was that the inevitable happened. That, you know, now what? Now what do we do? You know, and a couple of the options I've been hearing is Oswego and, of course, Glenn's track here, Central New York Raceway Park, which is a mile up the road from me.
Right.
I got to tell you, my heart would not be broken if that's ultimately where it ends up. A mile from Super Dirt Week would be kind of a nice little perk.
It wouldn't be too bad. But, I mean, look at what Glenn Donnelly was able to do in virtually no time with Rolling Wheels. The fact that the cars came back in full, and he started right away signing some major sponsors at Rolling Wheels, and look at all the names that he's got behind him on the Central New York Raceway Park. You'd keep the show centralized. It's not that much of a stretch to go from Syracuse up to the Brewerton area. So I mean, is there any rumblings that you're hearing on the inner circle that suggests there might be some sort of announcement as to the future of Super Dirt Week at Super Dirt Week this year?
Yeah, that's the plan from what I'm hearing.
Right.
I've read a couple of releases and a couple of different stories where the idea is that the plan for what Super Dirt Week will become will be made at the press conference on Thursday at Super Dirt Week.
Let me make that a little more clear. Are you hearing anything to suggest that that's where that Super Dirt Week event is going to go?
I've heard, you know how the rumor mill is. There's lots of rumors and all that. And, of course, the Oswego one is the big one, at least for 1 year. That's the speculation.
Yeah.
And again, Governor Cuomo kind of hinted at it when he said a new facility. I mean, I don't know if he meant to use the term new facility, but I have to assume he's meaning Glenn's track. I mean, that would be my assumption
right
on that. You know, I don't know anywhere else they're going to build a new facility for us to have a big race at.
Well, any place
if Glenn's track comes to fruition and everything gets done, it could be pretty awesome.
I got a feeling.
You know, I just hope.
I got a feeling that there's a lot of different sentiment right now. I got a feeling there's a lot of different sentiment going on right now inside the ranks of Dirt Car, and I think there's going to be, a lot more announced than just that right now. When we get to Super Dirt Week, I think there's going to be some wholesale changes.
Well, I'm hoping it does. I mean, my ideal, hope would be that they make that event doable for the little guy.
Right.
You know, I want to see a Super Dirt Week where you see a small market guy or a small budget guy races his way into the 100 lapper. You know, I'd rather see the race be 100 laps or even 50 laps. You know, but pay 50 grand to win 1,000 to start.
Right.
You know, keep the purse the same, but change the format. You know, we've always done the 200 miles, the endurance race, because it's the mile, it's this and that. Okay, well, now we have the opportunity to make it like the other, premier event in racing. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Knoxville Nationals, that's 50 laps. Okay, you look at the World 100 and the Prelude and the Dream, two of the higher paying races.
Mm-hmm.
Those races are 100 laps.
You know,
let's take it back to that. I would rather see one or the other. You know, I don't need to see 200. I mean, I do love, don't get me wrong, I love 200 lap races. They're great, and pit stops are great and all that. But I want Super Dirt Week to be affordable and available for everyone.
Sure.
You know, I want to see every guy that could possibly be a Super Dirt Week be there. I mean, that's what makes Knoxville awesome, is when you go there, there's 117 cars.
Mm-hmm. For one division.
All those guys are vying for 24 spots in the show.
Right. So you know that, you know, basically a fifth of the field is going home. Or
yeah,
excuse me, a fifth, only a fifth of the field is going to get on the track. You know, 4/5 of the cars are going.
And that's what makes it special. You know, because it's a difficult race to make, and you got to race your tail off every time you touch the track to get in. I mean, I would love to see us do something like that kind of format where you got to earn your, you know, really race every time you're on the track and race your way in
with passing points.
You know, I mean, that would be my ideal situation.
With passing points?
Yeah, it's not necessarily passing points at Knoxville. It's finishing points.
Finishing
points. You know, okay. I mean, every position you finish in, you get points.
Right.
You know, and ultimately, I would like to see that. You know, if you, you know, they do the inversion at Knoxville of 8 cars in a 10-lap heat, and then they take the top 4, go to the A, top, you know, next 4 go to the B, everybody else to the C main. That's the qualifying night. Then on the final night, they run an E, a D, a B, a C, you know, or what is it, E, D, C, B, and an A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's that. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that format works for our kind of cars. I mean, I wouldn't mind saying, all right, you're going to have, you know, on Saturday night doing a couple B features that are, you know, 30 laps in distance. You know, pay $2,000 to win each one of them, but then take the top, you know, top 4 out of each transfer to the A. You know, there's 16 cars locked in from the 2 qualifying nights, and everybody else races in on that last night.
Right.
You know, a format like that would be kind of neat, I think.
Have you written these ideas down and submitted them formally yet?
No, but I am gonna write a story at some point.
Yeah.
With my preferred format.
I don't think
I think that'll be here in the next week or so.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
On what I'd like to think. So.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to see it now become a race for everybody.
Right.
You know,
the opportunity to make it so.
Because pit stops and all that, I'm fine with that because that's a special, it's a different deal. It's, you know, and, you know, the tradition at the mile was 200 laps of pit stops, all that. Well, the tradition at the new place doesn't have to be that. This is our opportunity to rebuild a new tradition.
Right.
You know, or build a new tradition.
Sure.
So. That's how I look at it. You know, if you're going to blow it up and it's gone, well, let's change it and make it, you know, make it better. You know, I get people like 200 lap races. That's fine. You know, bring back the Lebanon Valley 200 if you need to. I don't care. You know, but I would prefer to, you know, to see, you know, a race like a 100 lapper with, you know, racing your way in and so on and so forth.
I'm not averse to it. I mean, look at the World of Outlaws. Are now coming during Super Dirt Week, along with that winning your in program, and then they've got the small blocks back on the card on Friday night, along with the 360 Sprint Challenge during Super Dirt Week over at Rolling Wheels. That's those were staple events during Super Dirt Week. But then we started cutting down the 358 Tour and losing some of those satellite races.
Yeah.
But now the satellite races.
Well, you know, the thing that's always been weird about Super Dirt Week when you look at it, the big blocks run solely at the mile, and then they have that winning your in race.
Mm-hmm.
The small block guys run their tails off.
They sure do.
Because they run every race at the mile. They race every day at the mile. And then they also run Berth and, you know, or no, they run Wednesday night at Weedsport, Thursday night at, you know, Brewerton, Friday night Rolling Wheels. You know, those guys, I mean, they get the short end of the stick a little bit.
Right.
And you know, they're the one going from the mile over there and doing this and that. You know, you got to have 3 or 4 cars to be able to do that.
Right. You get your hands full.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. If you want to be able to run all those races.
Recapping a couple other track champions, Canandaigua with Dave Marcicelli winning his first sportsman title over there at Canandaigua Motorsports Park. He was 9th in the race. Kevin Root won the feature in a car that used to belong to Tim McCready. Devin Ruggles won his 7th feature of the year in the 305 Sprint Division and locked up his 3rd straight title. Turned some luck around for him. The Street Stock Pure Stock Division, Steve Pasarek, won his 7th race of the season through lap traffic. Welch's runner-up finish handed him his 10th career Street Stock Championship. CJ Guerrieri won the Pro Stock main. Eric Chapman was 2nd there, and he took home the division title in the Pure Stock ranks over at Canandaigua. Let's take a look here. And Black Rock Speedway, this was their season finale over there. Tyler Seary winning his fourth of the season over Steve Payne. Steve Payne, the track champion, wrapped that up last weekend. Casey Pavlik's fifth win in the sportsman division led to his second straight 602 sportsman title. Jared Hill, he won his fourth street stock feature of the year, and that was his first ever career Black Rock track championship in the street stock division. Jeremy Potrabowski was second, Jake Karnowski third. Bruce Tinsley won his first IMSA modified feature, but nothing was going to get past Keith Lanfear. Great run for him all year long. He wins the track title in the IMCA divisions. Rich Sharpstein took home his ninth four-cylinder win that led to the four-cylinder division crown for him. He also won the four-cylinder championship at Woodhull Speedway this year. Jason Smart was second. Jeremy Trank third in that feature. James Creedler won the makeup four-cylinder feature earlier in the night. Jeff Daugherty winning his 16th Bandit feature of 2015. And I think it was 2 weeks ago that he locked up the Bandit Division title. The track is going to be open again on the 18th and 19th of September for the Onyx Summer Summit Weekend. Great Sportsman going to be the center stage all weekend long. The Champions Invitational is on Friday, and then a 50-lap 2,500-to-win feature on Saturday. The season is going to conclude October 23rd and 24th, the Dutch Hoag National Open Weekend. The crates are going to run 50 laps on Friday, along with the IMCA Modified Street Stocks 4-cylinders and 360 late models. Big blocks are on the card the second night, 50-lapper for them. The Go Nuclear late models and the Empire 100 for street stocks follow up as well. Over at Spencer Speedway, Tommy Catalano won the modified feature over Mike Lady. Lady took the track title with his second-place finish. Kevin Timmerman was third on the track. Tim Gullo won the New York State Superstock feature with Bill Frisbee in tow. Weird finish over there. I don't know if you're following how this thing played out, Mike. With only a couple laps left, Gullo ended up getting into the back of the Frisbee car, which appears to be the root of a slow tire leak in Frisbee's car. Frisbee ended up getting way out of shape on the last lap. Gullo drove around him. He ends up taking the win, and Frisbee brought the car home second. Gullo had already locked up the track champion, or excuse me, the New York Superstock track division championship, but that wasn't real popular the way that thing played out. Timmy Catalano won the four-cylinder feature. Brian Hallett doubled up, winning both of the 20-lap Super Stick mains. Super Sticks features. Josh Shoemaker got second place in the second Super Sticks finale, and that locked up the track championship for him. Catalano won the track championship in the four-cylinder division as well. That concludes Spencer's season. Over at Rolling Wheels, Stuart Friesen. Did you go to the Super Dirt Series event for over at Rolling Wheels?
I get the Rolling Wheels. I had other commitments that night.
Yeah. Stuart Friesen ends up winning that event, and that was his third straight Super Dirt Series win. Super Dirt Car Series win. Not too bad there.
He's had a good week.
Yeah, he won the Mr. Dirt Track USA event at Lebanon Valley, and then he won the Alex Friesen Summer Nationals at Ransomville leading up to Rolling Wheels, and now tomorrow they're going to Granby and then Brewerton on the 19th. Matt Shepard is the division points leader currently with 95 points in hand over Brett Hearn and 143 up on teammate Jimmy Phelps. Granby's going to be a good time up there.
Yeah, I'm sure those guys will have fun. I will have fun, I think, taking tomorrow night off. I think the only one racing modified at all tomorrow is Accord Speedway.
Yeah. And you're not going to go?
Weekend off here a little bit, and then again, Utica Saturday, and then Thunder Mountain Saturday in this area. And, of course, you've got the Wade Decker Memorial on Sunday down at Thunder Mountain.
Jason Barney winning over the weekend at Brewerton. Started at 13th and had to make up a lot of ground on the leaders over at Brewerton with the Empire Super Sprints. Kurt Michael executing a last lap pass to overtake Chuck Hebing at Thunder Mountain, and then Friesen won in a sprint car over at Utica Rome on Sunday. Not bad.
Good weekend. Yeah, good week for Stewie.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
No, he can't beat that. I mean, unfortunately, he didn't have the luck, though, in the big modified races. I mean, I think Sunday night he was 10th or 11th, or top 10. And then Monday just wasn't in the mix for that win.
Unfortunately, he wasn't. I mean, he has the record for most wins in a single season at Utica Rome, right?
Where, at Utica?
Yeah, in a modified anyway.
No, most wins in a season, like I said earlier, is Plank and
That's right. You did say that.
Ed Flemke. Yeah, 11. They got 11 apiece.
I thought
Stewie is the all-time winningest modified driver.
That's where I got confused on that. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, he broke that record, I believe, last year. That's Dale Plank.
It's a good thing you work there, because you're quite the statistician for that track.
Yeah, that's good, because I look at the stats a lot. And I got Doug Zupek to my left constantly telling me the stats.
Right.
So.
Makes it easy. How is Zupi? He doing okay these days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm right. Yeah, Zupi's good. He's Zupi. So.
What do you think? What else is going on this weekend? And we kind of did a bit of a recap on where you can find modified racing already. The tour, Super Dirt Car Series tour, going to Granby Friday, and then they got a little bit of a reprieve before they get over to Brewerton on the 19th.
I'm looking forward to Brewerton. 2-day show here, a couple weeks, 18th and 19th. Going to go over Thursday. Hopefully, set up my tent, my camping site, and hang out right at the track over the weekend. So
not bad. You see any of your students?
You know, I'm going to bring my fire pit over and be able to have a good time. Looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Very cool.
And it's a new weekend. It's not one that, you know, has traditionally been on the schedule. So that makes it even more fun. You know, new tradition in the Bourne. So other than that, I mean, hoping the Cold Cup gets in this weekend. You know, Mother Nature, hoping she wants to cooperate. We'll see what happens when we get to the weekend. You know, all things are subject to change with the weather, you know that. So, just things, it seems like every year so far, this is the third year for the Cold Cup, and all three, it's been, you know, iffy weather.
Right.
You know, ultimately we got it in, the last two, but it was, iffy weather both times.
We covered pretty much all our bases, then. I got somebody texting me. Hey, it was getting distracting, so I had to mute my phone quick, and I was just making sure they hadn't written back. But I got somebody that's texting me. It's interrupting my train of thought. Did you catch anything on this deal over at Paradise Speedway, wrecking a one-on-one spectator race vehicle?
You know, I saw it on Facebook. I didn't see the video or anything like that. That's a video I'd like to see.
It was pretty crazy. I mean, it's a driver who just recently got their road license. And came through the third and fourth turns and was hammered down, and then ended up losing the handle on a pickup truck and hit the inside berm with one side of the truck, which sent it over onto I think it was the passenger side, and it laid the pillar right down to the dash, and then it rolled over, it barrel rolled in the air one time, caught the ground again, and went end over end. It was heinous. It was quite the spectacle. You don't typically see that out of the spectator races, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Sadly, that's the entertainment of the spectator race.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing something stupid.
it's one of those things, like, we were at Brewerton one night. I think you were there with me, where that guy had that green Firebird, and he wasted the nose of it off of a Uke tire, and the buddy, they were doing, like, mother-in-law races, I think, where the driver had the bag over his head, and the passenger had to sit in the back seat and tell him where to go, left, right, faster, slower, whatever. He ended up drilling a Uke tire and powered through the Uke tire and got the Uke tire to spin off the fender to the left, and he ended up driving right into the outside wall.
Yeah, that's always good. That's always good.
Destroyed the nose. Positively destroyed the nose on his Firebird. Not good. Don't want to make a habit of that.
No. You know, spectator races, any kind of that. Again, that's the entertainment value of all that stuff. You know, you're almost hoping that somebody runs into each other or there's some kind of drama. I know a couple years ago at Utica, two tow truck guys brought two drunk cars with them. You know, they didn't tell anybody. And they went out there and they ran the crap out of each other during the race. And then they got out on the backstretch and started fake fighting.
Oh, really?
The crowd went nuts. You know, it was pretty awesome.
Now, were you in on that, or were you just as surprised as everybody else? No comment. Uh oh. Sounds like maybe we had a phone die. But. We'd covered most of the topics. I'm hoping to get Steve Pasarek in here coming up in the next couple weeks and try and incorporate John back into the show here a little bit more as we go a little bit farther and start wrapping everything up here for the regular season as we head on toward Super Dirt Week here think we're just about ready to get on out of here. Go enjoy your football game tonight. NFL season kicks off here in just a little bit. That's going to do it for episode number 172 of the 31st Lap. We will catch up with you again next week.